I appreciate Steve, and I appreciate the opportunity to share the word anytime I get a chance to. And I am very grateful that Steve would allow me to share the word here. And thankful for all the teachers that are here. And, of course, many are gone to Newport, and I've heard they've had a great conference. So y'all remember them. They'll be on their way back this afternoon. Turn with me this morning to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. We are going to speak on or talk about grace by faith plus nothing. And the verse we're going to in Galatians chapter 2 is just to remind us a little bit about the Galatian people and the letter that has been written to them. It's a picture of the Apostle Paul that is the issue in Galatians more than anything is dealing with circumcision. It's dealing with those who have understood the grace message, those who understood that Christ was faithful to go to the cross to die for our sins, was dead and buried and resurrected the third day, and that's how they stand by their faith and knowing that they're saved by what Christ did and nothing they did. These people get the message as Paul's going through Galatia, and he leaves Galatia, and now you find him writing this letter to the Galatian people, and he's really, you can tell at the beginning, he's reminding them of what they heard from him, why they were saved, and now they're going back to the traditions of men and the traditions of what Israel, the nation Israel, is telling them, with other teachers coming in that are still under the law. And so there's kind of this attitude that Paul's writing with, but there's this attitude of these of the nation of Israel that are still following the law after the law has been taken out of the way. And Paul is just amazed at them, but Israel kind of has this attitude, well, that's fine that you're saved. However, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And the issue became up with circumcision. So Paul has been away. He's writing this letter to the Galatian people to remind them what he had taught them and what they had grasped about grace and what grace was. So in Galatians chapter 2, in verse 15 through 16, let's see what Paul's written here. The Apostle Paul says, "We who are Jews by nature." Now we know Paul was born a Jew. This was those who were Jew by their birth. He says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles." In other words, we're not after those pagan Gentiles who were looked down upon by the Jews of that day, because that's what was going on. And Paul's saying, look, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of your translations today will say faith in Jesus Christ. A lot of your scriptures, they have changed that word of to in. Well, you know what those two little letters do to Scripture? It contaminates it. When you take the word, the faith of Christ, the issue is the fact of what Christ did on our behalf. That He was faithful to do what He did in order to save us. But when you say faith in, that's something that you're doing as if you have enough faith to get the job done. And so be real careful with translations that have been written besides the King James Version. You need to really be careful because they'll change many, many little two-letter words that can make a difference in what the Scriptures say. Think about it. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith in Jesus Christ. Do you see how that reads wrong? It's by the faith of Jesus Christ. You weren't faithful enough. He was. He was the perfect sacrifice. We are righteous. We talked about this morning having God's righteousness because Christ was faithful, not because of anything you have done. And so that is important, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now, Paul's writing this letter to these Galatia people because they understood the grace message. They understood that Christ was faithful, and that's why they could be saved. And all of a sudden, Paul has to tell them that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified. So think about it. Here's Paul, born a Jew. He's reminding them who the Gentiles were to them. That they were sinners. They were heathen. They were dogs. They were uncircumcised. They had a terrible reputation because the only way that those Gentiles could get to God was through Israel at one time. And so now Paul says, look, we are Jews by birth, not sinners of who y'all are. And we know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. And he says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Those that were Jews by nature, that have understood the grace of God, even understood that they're no longer under the law if they were saved under the grace message of Paul. There were many of people who were Jews by nature, okay, who were not under the law. They didn't even believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And because of the revelation, the mystery that was given to Paul, they picked up right behind Paul and were saved. By nature, they were Jews. But that was it, only by nature. And so Paul says, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Because under the law, could they be justified by the faith of Christ? No, under the law, Christ had not gone to the cross yet. They were justified and met the conditions by following the law. Well, the law was taken out of the way. And that's what Paul reminded them when he was in Galatia. And now he's having to write a letter to remind them again because they picked up the things of the law. Sounds like a religious system, doesn't it? Sounds like churches scattered everywhere. Hey, we're glad you're saved. We're glad you believe. Now you need to do this. And you need to do this. And your works become relevant as though it was your faith and not Christ's faith. It can make it very confusing. That's why a lot of your translations today will say faith in Christ and not the faith of Christ. Makes all the difference in the world. So words mean what they say. But he says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I got a feeling that's pretty important for us to understand because he not only says it here in Galatians, but we can be reminded of it exactly what he says in Romans chapter 3. You'll find that the issue of being justified by your works will not happen. No matter how good you are, no matter how well you look in front of people, to God, it's filthy rags. That's why we don't need your faith, we need Christ's faith. Don't count on me. There are religious systems today that count on the preacher. Don't count on me. Count on the faith of Christ. Romans 3:19. Turn with me to Romans 3:19. We can see it what we're talking about here. And in Romans chapter 3:19, the word says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, now that's the Ten Commandments that we're referring to, it saith to them who are under the law, in other words, the Ten Commandments were directly given to the nation of Israel, not to a Gentile world, but since it's the law of the sovereign Creator God, how far does the influence of that law go? Guess what? It goes to the ends of the earth. Because look at the rest of the verse. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Even the act of a Gentile stealing, cheating, lying can't come up and say, I didn't know anything, I didn't know that was wrong. Right? There's no excuse. All the world was guilty before God. Every mouth was stopped, and the whole world became guilty before God. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by law keeping, by works, he says, there shall no flesh, Jew or Gentile, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Why? Because the law only has one function. People all over the world today are trying with all they have to keep the law because they feel that as if God's going to let them in by keeping the law, by going to church, by being faithful to a community, by doing good works. They're even under their own man-made laws thinking it will help them, just as if they're doing God a favor. I used to have that attitude years ago. I can remember how hard I worked in a religious system, being there every day. First one to get there, one of the last ones to leave. I mean, tirelessly being a good guy. And it didn't mean my intentions were bad because I loved people. I enjoyed what I did. But let me tell you what, there were many days I could act as if I was doing God a big old favor, like He needed me. The religious system will do that. But it will not work that way. This isn't why the law was given. The law had one function, to show mankind that he was a sinner. All man has been a lawbreaker. We are sinners by nature. That's how we're born. Verse, the end of that verse in verse 20, it says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter whether it's close, far away. The issue is that we're short of the glory of God. That's why we need the faith of Christ and not our faith. Not just Gentiles like the Jews thought. Jews and Gentiles have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We aren't sinners because of what we've done. We're sinners because of who we are. I hear spoken wrong so many times how we are created in, just as an example, how we are created in God's image. Let me tell you something. We're not created in God's image. We're in the image of Adam. Adam was created in God's image. When he walked the earth with God in the Garden of Eden, guess what? He was in the image of God. But Adam and Eve sinned. And Adam did not have the image of God anymore. That's why they realized they were naked before God. To give you an example, because a lot of people don't like this, because they love the fact that we're created in the image of God, but let's just go ahead and bust that balloon right now. Genesis chapter 5. This is why we're born in sin. If we were in the image of God, we wouldn't be born in sin. We would be perfect. Genesis 5, verse 1. Genesis 5, 1 says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. So we know how Adam was created, right? Verse 2, male and female created he them. And blessed them, that would be Adam and Eve, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Verse 3 kind of ends this problem. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness. Why was it in Adam's likeness? He was 100-something years old, and he was out of the Garden of Eden. This is kind of like I don't remember what name, but just you go straight to the future. You know, first you have Adam, he created in God's image, male and female, created he them, blessed them, called their name. But then in verse 3, and Adam lived 130 years, so 130 years later, Adam begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. So we're not created in the image of God, we're created in the image of Adam. Because we're sinners. And we come short of the glory of God. That's why we don't need our faith. We needed the faith of Christ and what He did. I love the fact that I mentioned this morning, we can't mess up salvation when we trust in what Christ did. Right? Can't mess it up. If you let me deal with it, I'll mess it up. Back to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. In Romans 3:24, Apostle Paul goes on to say, being justified freely, in other words, we were justified without a cause. Being justified freely by His grace, His unmerited favor poured out on us. Justified, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, in other words, that redemption is a buying back process. Okay? So through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. See, the blood was something very special in God's sight because in the blood is life. And He says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness, not yours, not by something you've done. He declared His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, because sins went into remission in times past. He says, that are past through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at this time, here's the but now, at this time His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, not your own, that He, who is Christ, might be just and the justifier of him which repents and is baptized? Absolutely not. And the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That's it. You know, you can fill the blank with anything you want, and it won't do the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. Not baptism, not singing in the choir, not giving your money, not helping the poor, not visiting the hospitals, not being faithful. It's the issue that Christ was faithful. He was the justifier. He was the one who was the propitiation, the go-between. He is the one who paid the redemptive price, not you. He did it. And by trusting in what He did is enough. Verse 27. I love this. Paul makes it very clear that we had no part of making ourselves get saved. So he turns around and he goes, where is boasting then? So what are you going to say now after I've said all that? I mean, you have nothing to brag on or nothing to stand on. He says, where is boasting then? In other words, who can brag? It is excluded. Why? Why would it be excluded? Because the law of faith excludes it, as you see in the remains of the verse. He says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what? Law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. See, the law of faith is believing the gospel, the good news, for your salvation. Well, what gospel did Paul preach? It wasn't the gospel of the kingdom, but it was the gospel of the grace of God. The unmerited favor that was poured out on you by the faith of Christ. And Paul says, by what? Law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Go to Romans chapter 4. I've had a lot of people want to make the argument, well, is believing working? Is that doing work? I have to believe it. I have to do something. Well, I'm glad you asked. Romans 4:4. Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you work, it's like paying a debt that's already been paid. Okay? It's as if that I see you at a restaurant and you know what? You're behind me, so I go ahead and I say, you know what? I'm going to pick up their tab. I know you're hopeful of that, but don't always count on it. But I'm going to pick up your tab. It's as if you're determined that you're not going to, that just ain't going to happen. So you tell your waitress, no, I'm paying my bill. He's not paying it after I've already paid it. You may go ahead and pay it. She's going to appreciate it. She's going to pocket it probably. But the fact that remains, I've already paid it. You don't have that debt anymore. And that's what Christ did on our behalf towards salvation. And in Romans 4:4 it says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth. So evidently, believing is not a work. Right? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See, there are verses only found in Paul's letters that share salvation today. Because it's by grace, not of works. The law was a work, and a work that nobody could add up to. But it's all they had. Until the dispensation of grace that was given to Paul. Ephesians 2:8. I know you know the verse, but let's just turn there anyway. Ephesians 2:8. I don't know how it could be any simpler. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. So, can't say faith in Christ. It's not your faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, all the way back to Galatians with me. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, not the law, we ourselves also are found sinners. Remember now who we're children of. We're children of Adam. Okay? So he says, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? He says, God forbid. In other words, here's the basic reasoning of verse 18. Now, think about it. Okay? In verse 18 he says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What is Paul saying? Paul is this guy that's written this letter to these Galatia people because of what he understood, and he understood who he was, okay, and what he was. He was a law-abiding Jew. He was a practicer of Judaism. He thought the law and the temple were the mainstay. Then when he saw the truth of the gospel, he totally changed. He understood old things had passed away. He says, if I go back and put my converts back under the law and command them to keep circumcision, then I'm rebuilding the very thing that I've torn down. This is what he's saying in verse 18. He says, he's blown away by these Galatian people who have picked up the law after they've been saved by grace. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Colossians 2:14. Look at the part of the verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. The law, and especially the law that was being practiced at the time of Christ, which was like 613 rules and regulations. That's how big the law had become. He says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Pretty much makes it plain that the law was to show us that we're sinners. The law was there to condemn us and remind us who we were, that we were born of Adam. And the fact remains that we needed the faith of Christ to give us the righteousness of God. And the issue is not by any kind of work that we could do to attain that. It's the fact of believing it. This is what Paul means when he said what he said about building what was torn down. At one time he helped believing Jews see the old economy was done away with, being nailed to the cross. Paul couldn't go back on what Christ had revealed to him. He couldn't turn around and go back because it changed. He said, but now. Now back to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. I'm going to go back just at verse 18. He said, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Have you ever heard the phrase that you can never be saved unless you know you're lost? How do you know that you're lost? Because the law condemned us. Without the law, anyone could think that they are good enough, that God will accept me. But instead, the law says, before the whole world, every mouth was stopped, the law says, you're guilty. We have all broken the law. So we are all law breakers. If we are a law breaker, then we know we're a sinner. Many people think that a sinner is someone that is just flat out down in the gutter. They think, many people have this mindset that, well, he goes to church, he's a good guy. Or he's done this. Many people think of just the sinner as just being a bad guy. Let me tell you what, we're all sinners. A sinner's no different than a murderer. No different than someone that does what a sin is sin to God. We all come short of the glory of God. Everybody is a sinner. And we've all broken the law of God. So then what condemns us? It's the law. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. Sorry to send you back and forth, but I think it's extremely important that we see this in the Word. Look what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 7. He says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, his old sin nature, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The law condemned him. Look at verse 8. But sin, that old sin nature, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. In other words, it got his mind just turning. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You know, it's the funny thing, even as a kid, we're after the image of Adam. A baby's not born thinking, I'm going to be good. A baby's born inquisitive, thinking, what can I do? And when they're told no, they're going to do it. I told the story before about the plate glass window that I remember Charles Swindoll shared. He said he never wanted to fish off the 8th floor that they stayed in over where the ocean was coming in. And they had these huge plate glass windows, and he never wanted to fish off the deck of the 8th floor until they put no fishing sign there, and he'd gone there for years. It made him want to fish, you know. He said what would happen is those weights, the line had to be heavy enough, so you had to have heavy weights. The wind would blow, and it'd blow the plate glass window out underneath them. So they had to put signs up. He says, now they put signs up, there's plate glass windows broken everywhere every time he goes. Sin, that's what it does. That's who we are. Verse 8 and 9, but sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Old Adam woke up and saw who he was. He was Adam as Saul. What happened when he saw it? When Paul saw it, he died. He died in the realm of that old Adam. With that death, there was new life, though. He became a believer in the finished work of the cross. By Saul realizing who he was, he understood the faith of Christ. Back to Galatians now. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. So this is Paul's whole thrust of teaching. You want to get down to, let's say, the brass of it? This is Paul's whole thrust of teaching. He says, I am crucified with Christ. You know, as believers, we have two forces within us. God reckons old Adam dead, but in experience, he is still there. Satan doesn't attack us. Our old Adam is what attacks us. I run into more difficulties of old Adam more than I ever do Satan. Satan just doesn't want us to believe right. My old Adam nature reminds me of who I am. And Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ died, that's when we died. And then Paul says, nevertheless, I live. Even though he recognized the faith of Christ and he was crucified with Christ, that when Christ died, he's still there physically. He says, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that's something that we just need to all remember. This skin, this epidermis, this earth suit, it will pass away. We're clear of that over the last month. We know we miss Ruth, miss my dad, but you know what? They were crucified with Christ. And although at one time they lived here on earth physically, they still live today spiritually. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, here now, day by day, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not I live by the faith in the Son of God as if they're doing something about their physical life. He says, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he doesn't do anything to earn it. It's grace by faith without works. In Galatians 2:21, a lot of people just stop at verse 20. But 21 is extremely important. Because when we add anything to the grace of God and what we have, the righteousness of God because of the faith of Christ, by believing, we have life everlasting. If we add anything to that at all, it's not grace. You can't add a thing to grace and it be grace any longer. And do you know what we do every time we have come to a point in our life that we have rejoiced in the fact that a brother or a sister or ourselves are saved by grace, and then we think we've got to add something to it? Verse 21 makes it clear. Paul says, and this is what he wrote to these Galatian people who have picked up the law again, that were struggling. Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. In other words, everything that they had learned, Paul rejoices in the fact he leaves and goes to the next area where he's sharing the gospel of the grace of God, okay? And he hears what's going on in Galatia, that these other people are coming in that are adding things to this grace message as though it's helping them with their salvation. And he says, you're frustrating the grace of God. That frustrates us. You know, every time that we put a load on somebody else's back, when it comes to the grace message, we frustrate what it's all about. Every time we can say we did something as far as our salvation goes, we frustrate it. Because the issue is believing the faith of Christ. So he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if righteousness came by the law, Jesus Christ wasted his whole time. Everything he did was meaningless. That word vain just means it's meaningless. Doesn't have any weight in it. We need to remember that anytime we hear the grace message, to share this verse, because that frustrates the gospel. The worst thing we can do is frustrate the gospel. You know what most churches do today as a whole? Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean they mean bad. Doesn't mean anything except the fact that every time they share the gospel of grace and turn around and tell them what they need to do next, they frustrate it. Because then they can say, because it was my faith, when the faith rested solely on Christ. We need to rejoice in that. Because if it rests solely on Christ, it can never be taken away, no matter what anybody says. He can't undo the cross. The cross has been dealt with over 2,000 years ago, and we trust in that. This morning, if that's the first time you recognize it, trust in that. This could be the day of your salvation. You may have gone to church your whole life, but until you come to the point to understand the grace of God, you can't understand salvation. Amen? Right there where you are, you can trust in the finished work of the cross and the faith of Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your love and your mercy, and most of all for your grace, for your unmerited favor. So thankful that we can stand here this morning knowing that there's nothing we need to do but to simply trust in what you did, and that what you did was enough. I pray that we're reminded we don't need to frustrate the gospel of Christ, because it's by which how people are saved. And we rejoice in the fact that you have already taken that out of the way. We give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Good day.